This segment is brought to you by Jigmaster Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and use promo code PNF20 and save 20% off your next jig order today.
Welcome to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. This is the final cast segment with your hosts, Brad Hicks and Josh Eldridge, where we cast our final opinions on all products, good and bad. Welcome to the final cast. You're listening to the final cast on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I am your host, Brad. And guess who's back?
Trash Panda's back.
Back.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, man? It's been a long time, it seems like.
It has been. It's been probably since maybe June. I'm not sure if I recorded any in July. It's possible, but I don't think that I did. But yeah, man, it's great to be back. I'm happy to be back, and let's kick this thing off, bro.
Heck yeah. I think one of the last episodes that you were on was your St. Clair trip, where you placed, like, pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. It. To be honest with you, I cannot remember where I placed. If I finished just inside the top 10 or outside the top 10.
I think you were ninth.
Yeah, it's possible. But, dude, it was insanity. Like, I had a heck of a day on the water and Demon come close to the top three, and it was insanity. We got a tip from a local guy here of a place to fish, which was just awesome. And what was really cool is we had the water to ourselves. It was me, Mike, and Brandon out there, and me and Mike just put on a clinic. I think we led it for like the first half of the tournament. Him and I kept switching one and two. And I think I finished with like 93 inches, but number one took, I think, had 106 inches of smallmouth, dude. Something crazy like that. I can't remember the numbers, but yeah, dude. Probably easily the top smallmouth fishing that I've ever had, like, in one day, you know? Well, or a weekend. I mean, I think we went down there Thursday. We pre-fished Friday, and then a tournament was Saturday. And then I ended up doing the Paddle and Fin bracket tournament that following Sunday, man. Which I didn't do good in, which stunk. But I think we caught the smallmouth at the tail end of the spawn. I think there were some females still roaming the beds, but I think they were moving on out because we were catching a lot of males, and occasionally you would come across like a big female where we were at. So, but yeah, dude, it was awesome.
Yeah, that was a cool tournament. I remember watching it like, man, 90 inches. I've only ever hit 90 inches once, largemouth, smallmouth together. And that was this year, but man, that's cool.
I think we're going to definitely head up there maybe a week or two earlier. So we are like in kind of the prime spawning time, compared to when we were. So, we were seeing, you could see them on beds, but you were seeing the males were guarding, and then the females, you would see them occasionally, but they were moving around ultra fast. Like they would zip in an area and zip out, like, boom, you would just see these big, big dark brown shadows, just like the bedding area. And then they would just be out again.
That's awesome.
So it was pretty wild, man. I mean, I was seeing beds that were like 10 feet in diameter, like, and it was cool because you could tell what the sweet spot of the bed was. And they would use like, I'm assuming they were like, it was like a pebble or a shell, and it was like white. It'd be bright white, and you would stand out in the middle of the sand, like in the middle of the bed. You could see it just straight through the water. Right there. And as soon as you would hit that sweet spot, man, boom, that the male would be all over it. So, but I was fishing the Wicked Willow. And like, I think we already touched on this before. Basically, I was pulling it through. There was like real sparse vegetation. It seemed like a lot of the beds were at the bottom of that vegetation. So if I would hit some vegetation, kind of feel like I started to snag, I'd just kill it. And let that bait drop down, and it would get hit then.
So. Yeah, that was Sam Jones talking about that little tactic.
Yeah.
I remember that. That's cool.
Yeah, he was telling us, he's like, get it on the sweet spot and twitch it a little bit. And but you know, that was one of the highlights for the year so far. There was a lot of other stuff. A lot of stuff I got to learn this year. I spent more time this year in a pedal drive than I had previously, which was cool. And the boat that I chose was the Big Rig FD. And I had been in that boat from when I visited Brian. And So when that tournament came up, I asked Mark from Loveland if I could borrow the Big Rig FD. And he said, yeah. And he's like, try to sell it while you're there, which I was going to, but we ended up not running into any of other anglers really while we were out there. And then with the whole COVID thing, everybody was just, you know, just, there was no in-person, you know, check-ins or anything like that where you would get like some people that might be interested in it. So, but use that boat for a little bit. And then shortly thereafter, like kind of towards the end of the summer, I bought Chris Anderson's Big Rig from him, which I had to turn around and sell like a couple months later just because of preparation and stuff that I'm going through. And but dude, I love that kayak, to be honest with you. I like the stability of it's just like bar none, man. It's just super, super stable kayak. It is it's a barge, so it's a little it's hard to, you know, pedal, you know, hard to paddle if you have to, but go ahead.
Is that the one that Jay brought to Dale Hollow last year?
Yes. Same
boat. Yeah, I got in it. That thing is super stable.
Yeah. It the one that I had was a 2019, the one that I borrowed from Chris Anderson, or that I bought from Chris Anderson, and it had the it has the old drive in it. Didn't have any issues with the old drive, but the thing turned like really, really bad. So, and yeah, I knew that it had the old, it has the old rudder on it. So I bought the Boondocks J rudder, and it's specifically made for Jackson kayaks.
Is it the big orange one?
No, that's what comes with them now that Jackson sends. This one's black. It's feels like it's made out of metal. It seems like it's made out of some sort of aluminum or metal or something like that. But it is it's kind of long and skinny versus the kind of short, stubby, fat one that Jackson had on the old ones. And dude, it was night and day difference. So I put that in. It's a little overpriced. I think it was like $90 for it, something like that. But to be honest with you, the difference that I saw and how that kayak performed turning wise was night and day. So it was worth it, you know.
Seems like all those products nowadays for kayaks, like the aftermarket stuff, they're up there in price.
Yeah, I mean, there's a market for it, and especially with something like that, because it solved a problem and that people were really kind of complaining about a lot was how hard it was to turn that boat. Like you needed a lot of area to be able to turn around, you know, if you're on fish, man, it's the last thing you want to do is go around, you know, pedaling through potentially, you know, where or whatever. So it's, but it was definitely, definitely a good product. Very solid built. I mean, it literally is plug and play too. I didn't have to do anything modification wise. It slid right up into the same slot that's up underneath the boat, right into where the, I don't know, you call it a cotter pin or whatever. Slide. Everything slid in exactly the same. So, you know, definitely was an improvement that I really was happy with, you know, once I got installed it. It made that boat 100 times more fun to fish with. So,
I bet, because I know the few minutes I did spend inside of it, I could not even get it to turn around inside that marina because it just turned so wide.
Yeah. The problem with that boat is always seemed like you had to get like momentum going and then it would kind of engage. You know, the rudder would, I don't know if it was just because it was so short, it couldn't grab like enough surface area of the water or what, but with that other one, dude, like if you just turn to start pedaling, the boat starts turning. So, I mean, it's still not exactly like, you know, like turning on a dime by any means, but definitely, definitely a lot better. So,
I
think the new 3D drive from Jack or 3D Rudder, it's the orange one that you're referring to.
Yeah.
From what I understand, that one performs a lot better, obviously. I've tried both of them before. I've tried the old Rudder the old Rudder, and then I tried obviously the Boondocks one. But then when I had the Loveland's boat, that one had the new orange one that JK, you know, provides, and it does turn better. You know, I wish I would have been able to do a comparison between the orange one and the Boondocks one. I didn't get an opportunity, but I do know that for sure that the orange one is pretty close to the Boondocks one, if not right on. So,
yeah, you brought up a good point about having to gain some speed before actually turning. And I had a couple different experiences this year. One with the Native Slayer Max. I got to try that out for a little bit. And the radius is so tight. It's probably 14, 15 foot diameter, you know. I was circling Justin. He was sitting in my Bonafide, and I was circling him and barely missing the front and the back with that.
Oh, and really?
Then, yeah.
It turns out pretty good.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then the other one with I spent some time in was the Hobie Outback. And that thing, it's fast, but it seems like you have to get up to speed before you can get it to turn.
Yeah.
But I know they have, like, different rudders that come with that, too, now, that you can buy aftermarket. It just reminded me of that when you said that.
Heck yeah. So yeah, I'm trying to think of some other new stuff offhand. There wasn't much new stuff that I used. There was a lot of new things that I did fishing wise this year, you know, like technique wise. Mm-hmm. I started fishing deeper. One of the times was with when we went up to East West Harbor and we fished the Cincinnati Kayak Fishing, the charity tournament, and Mike, Braden, and Dylan and Brandon went up there to camp out and fished up there. And I did decent in the tournament. I didn't do as well as, obviously, nobody did as well as old Jackson did, but Mike finished pretty high up there.
Oh, man. Yeah, I forgot about that tournament.
Yeah, so we went up there, and I fished, in a sense, like a ledge. It wasn't a ledge, but the way it laid out was. And that was kind of cool. That was a good experience to learn, like, you know, how to kind of cast my bait into an area and kind of bring it, like, either off the ledge or, you know, up the ledge, vice versa. Kind of, it was working both ways. So that was kind of interesting. Another thing that I did was when we were at Dale Hollow. Dale Hollow, I got out there and finally tied on something to try to fish deep. One of the things I've been struggling with is kind of figuring out, like, what am I seeing on my graph? Am I seeing fish? Yeah. Am I seeing bass? You know, at first I was describing what I was seeing when we were at Dale Hollow, and I think it was Mike was like, hey, dude, that's the thermocline. And then I talked to one of the other guys that was out there, and he's like, no, dude, that's what I was marking too. Those are bass. He's like, they're just suspended off the bottom. It was in like 50 feet of water, though, like between 40 and 50 feet of water. It was kind of, they sat around that 45 mark. And we went to a different place, and I struggled. I mean, we caught some fish on the river when we were out there, but wasn't catching like a lot of anything of size. And so I finally tied on like a deep diving crankbait, and I just kind of experimented. I was like, I got to figure this out. For so long, I'm always one of those anglers that throws what they're comfortable with, even if it's not working, and I have a really hard time switching it up, and I end up just being frustrated. But that was pretty cool. As I put on a 5XD extra mm-hmm. deep, something like that. So it dove to, I want to say, I want to say hit around the 25 mark. It's where I could feel the bottom. And I ended up just trying it out. And I was kind of, since we weren't fishing in a tournament or anything, I trolled it around and caught like a really nice largemouth. I think it was about an 17 to 18 inch largemouth doing that. So that was kind of a cool experience. I hadn't done that before. But I just, fishing kind of deep, trying out different baits, trying to fish using my graph deep, you know, like marking a fish and trying to, once I marked it, kind of back up a little bit. And, you know, it's worked a few times. I wasn't highly successful by any means, but, you know, it kind of gave me an understanding what I'm seeing on my graph is what I think it is sometimes, you know?
Yeah. I struggle with that too.
So it's still going to be a lot of learning. I didn't get out as much as I did. I was out a lot in the spring, and then with everything that kind of went on personally this year, everything kind of halted and slowed way down. I mean, I got out a few times here and there, but overall it was just, you know, that's the cards that were dealt this year. So, I mean, it was an awful year for me. So
it seemed like you were traveling more than usual this year, though. It like once a month, at least with Mike.
Yeah. Mike and I went to a lot of places, especially in the first half of the, you know, season. I want to say like once after East West Harbor, it kind of slowed down. We were kind of staying more local until we went to Dale Hollow. But I wasn't going to miss Dale Hollow. I mean, we had so much fun last year, and then being able to see so many of the paddle and fin crew, I was like, I gotta go. So,
yeah, I missed it, but oh well.
It was tough fishing though, man. Like, it's that, I think if we do Dale Hollow again, it's going to need to switch over to the spring.
Oh, dude. Springtime, yeah. April. Oh, I love Dale Hollow in April. It's awesome.
You know, both times that I've been there, where it was with you the previous year, and we went, I want to say the second weekend in September.
No, it was the end. It was like the 27th, 28th.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. And then obviously this one was right around that same time. So it's crazy. Like we've talked about in the past, how soon that they draw down those lakes in Tennessee. So.
Yeah, I was completely shocked to see that last year. We pulled up, and I'm like, holy crap, there's no water in these coves.
Well, and what's even crazier, Brad, is they do that like a month ahead of when we were there. Because when I was there in August for my birthday, Cherokee Lake and Douglas Lake had both been pulled down that far, too. So,
yep. I actually walked around Cherokee Lake last year. I think it was around August.
You went the weekend after I had been there. You and your wife were traveling there when we were coming back.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, because I was like, hey, I just saw you on the highway going the other way. But yeah, I got down there and that lake was low. I was like, holy crap, you can see everything. This is crazy. Even one of the boat docks by the dam, like you couldn't even launch there because there was no water in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just blows my mind that they lower it that low that early in the year. But I guess it's because of the fall rain that they get.
That and also, from what I understand, the fall rain, it's obviously for flood control. But at the same time, it gives the people who own boat docks time to work on them throughout the season. And when you think about how many people are, like, how much is involved out there in regards to that, because I mean, we don't have places like that in Ohio. So Ohio doesn't really, would they take forever to draw down versus, you know, what they do down there. I mean, that's like a livelihood. You've got people who own marinas, and then you got houseboats and people who actually live on the lake and, you know, or vacation homes and all that jazz. So it gives them time to get out there and work on those docks. So
I never thought about that. But yeah, our lakes here in Ohio, they probably lower them 4 feet for the winter, I'm guessing, something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but
it's not much at all.
Yeah,
but that's interesting.
But we have a bunch of toilet bowls for lakes here. So.
I know, they're all muddy, poopy. So I don't even know. I hate fishing up here. Well, except for the river.
Yeah.
But then again, when you get rains up here, the river just turns to freaking mud, too.
Yeah, that's why all of our lakes look like that, too. So,
Docks, have you ever been to East River Landing over here in Moraine?
I have not. Not yet.
They have a boat ramp there, and it's a nice parking lot and everything. Well, last time I was out there, they took out the dock. I didn't know they did that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got there. I was like, where'd the dock go? It was after a big flood, too, so I thought it maybe washed down stream or something, but...
Maybe if it's a floating one, they might remove it so it doesn't get damaged and stuff. Like, because I know, you know how it is around here. Like, the weather's so up and down in Ohio throughout the winter. Like, one day it's going to be 60 in December, and then, 2 days later we get a foot and a half of snow, and then after that snow's done, it rains for 5 days, and then, everything's flooding out, and, it's just a cycle of that garbage. So, I mean, that's why you go, I've talked about in the past, like, from where I wade fished for so long, it used to just make me thoroughly disgusted being on the riverbank, walking down the river trying to fish, and I'm looking up in trees, like 15 feet, 20 feet up in a tree, and there's just garbage from... how those things flood out, dude. And I mean, it's insanity, and it's all strictly from, it's not like that shit's floating around in the air. It's all from how high that river gets.
Yeah. I've seen like little baby dolls up in the trees and stuff.
Dude, it's amazing the shit you'll see stuck up in the trees around here.
That's funny.
It looks like we had a hurricane, like went down the river.
It does. It's crazy. You been on the river much
this year? I haven't been in forever, dude. It's been rough for me, man. I like I said, for those that didn't know, my soon-to-be ex-wife and I have been going through a separation since June, and that's why I was on a hiatus from the podcast. I had to pack up the computer, and then fortunately I had a good buddy, and we all talked about him before, Mike Grimsley, let me stay down at this place throughout the summer. And I just, there's a lot of stuff going on with that. I had to get rid of the kayaks. That just happened recently, but it was just with everything that was kind of going on, trying to find a new place, traveling from Westchester all the way up to here, for work, and making sure I still spent all the time that I could with the kids. The kayak fishing, all that stuff kind of took a backseat, until I got my cards all settled, and, I had to sell both kayaks, which stinks, man, cause I'm itching to get out so bad. And everybody's, I'm lucky that I'm involved in this community because of the amount of help that I've gotten from everybody. Like, Mike's helping me out, let me stay at his place. I got furniture from people. I got just tons of people reached out. Paddle and Finn helped me out. And it's just, it goes to show you like how awesome everybody in this community can be and are. Obviously with any kind of large group or of people, you get the drama and the garbage that comes with it. But really, when it comes down to it, like, the people that had my back the most were, the people that I fish with. It's crazy, mm-hmm. dude. Like, people that I mean, one of my best friends, Nate, like, I met him from working, at this steel place. And he, I bought some bunk beds for the boys that he had built for somebody else. And he hooked me up with that person. And, no questions asked, came over, helped me, he disassembled them and reassembled them back here, at my place. And it's just, and these are all people that I share the same passion of fishing and outdoors with, and it was, it was really an eye-opening experience to like realize, like how many people I've made friends with down the way that are, mm-hmm. are truly, truly good people,
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's what I like about, our Pound on Fin group here too. Like, we all might get on each other's nerves at times and stuff like that, but then when it really matters, we all step up and help each other. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So much love to everybody out there, especially my Paddle and Fin peeps, Nate, Mike, Brandon. Brandon helped me out a lot, dude. Poor Brandon. So I lost my Bending Branches Angler Pro. So have you heard the story about it?
No, you told me about it, but I didn't hear the whole story.
This is good. This is good. So I talked Brad into Bending Branches, right? So Brad gets to try out my paddle one day on the river.
And well, like, hold on. I used a Angler Classic. I never did try the higher
one. Right. He was like, man, those things are expensive. I'm like, yes, dude, but I'm telling you, it's like one of the best investments I've ever made, especially if you're the kind of person who likes to spend a lot of time on the water in one day. And so Brad got to try it out. He's like, dude, that thing is sweet. And before you know it, Brad's got the Navigator and the Angler Pro. And so I had the same paddle for the past like couple years. And when we were up at St. Clair, I either left it at the boat dot or at the boat launch and somebody took it, or B, I had it on the kayak and it blew off because I forgot to take it off of the paddle holder, because the Jackson Big Rig paddle holder is not secure. It's just clips in, like it pops on. So I lost that, and Brandon was super nice enough to give me his. And he had an Angler Pro too. Yeah. Cause it was sitting at Mike's place and he's like, yeah, dude, you just take it. And I'm like, no way, man. Let me I got to give you something for it. And he's like, no, just take it. It's just sitting over there anyways. And so I take that thing and I do the same stupid shit, dude. Like I left it on the big rig. We put the big rig on the trailer and we're driving to go fishing, me and Mike, and it blows off the boat into the road. And somebody had flagged us down and says, hey, one of your guys' paddles. And I was like, oh, shit. That's not my paddle. That's Brandon's. And so we go back and we find it. And I go, and I'm like, oh, dude, it's still here. It's not broken. And I picked it up and I drop it instantly because it's cracked and it's fiberglass. The whole shaft's fiberglass and it's cracked all the way down. And when I did that, it was like I grabbed a porcupine, dude, the carbon fibers. Dude, just stuck all into my hand everywhere. I look down at my hand. I've got like 25 little slivers of carbon fiber stuck in my hand.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So
I didn't hear that. For somebody else's sake, I hope the very first one that you did lose, somebody found and was able to at least use it.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know what happened. I think I left it there. I picked it up and took it because we went back and looked for it and it was gone. So
that's I would cry. That's a lot. That's $299.
Yeah. I know. Shut up. And I lost, and then I broke somebody else's. I'm so dumb. Like so dumb.
Dude, I do stuff like that all the time. I mean, like rod socks, I mean smaller scale, but I've left so many rod socks places, you know. Somebody probably picks it up. What the heck's Paddle and Fin? This is gay.
I used to leave my pliers everywhere, and then I used to carry the Rapala folding ruler, the gray one. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
Like the fish ruler. Like so I used to, that's like my favorite thing to carry when I'm wade fishing because it folds out to like, you know, almost 30 inches or something like that, but you can fold it down to 15 and then it just fits right in your backpack at that point. And I like that thing so much. I bought like 3 or 4 of them. And it was also because every time I would go fishing, I would leave it in the bushes somewhere because I'd catch a fish, measure it. And then I'd be like, all right, I'm going to go back out there and pack all my stuff and leave that stupid thing sitting there on the rocks or whatever. And then walk away. So
yeah, that's the worst.
I broke 2 rods this year.
Did you really?
Yeah. One of them was fishing up north and I hooked into like a 10-pound channel catfish and thought I had like the world record smallmouth on it. And I was trying to get it up. So I had, you know, my rod in my right hand behind me like this. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to net it and just tip my rod snaps. Like,
I've done that. I think I've broken maybe one rod, but it was my most expensive one, the Villain 2.0.
Yeah.
I was so mad.
pretty funny when that happened. I wasn't too mad. I mean, it was one of my cheaper Fenwicks, one of those Silverhawks, but yeah. I mean, it is what it is. Like I've had a lot of good uses out of those rods. I mean, I'm not super like delicate with any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, it usually gets jammed into the truck. I put them in the front seat. I whack the headrest. I hit the ceiling. I catch it on the metal post for the headrest, you know, mm-hmm. I just beat the daylights out of it. So,
yeah.
But you know, it's bound to happen. And then another one I broke. Oh, I broke another one at Mike's shop. And this was pretty funny. So I went in and I didn't realize how hard the man door, you know, the regular door you'd walk into somewhere. I didn't walk through the garage door. It was still closed. So I'm taking my stuff out to open the man door. And I try to walk in there quickly with all my rods. And one of them doesn't make it. And the door slams shut and just snapped in half.
Oh, I would be so mad. I get mad over that kind of crap, man.
It's so funny though. I'm like, wow, that door closed really fast.
Yeah. The other thing I hate is when you're in the kayak and your rods are sticking up straight, get caught in trees. Yeah. Every time it happens, I get so pissed off.
But, you know, other than that, I mean, I had a good year fishing. I learned a lot. I met a lot of cool people. I fished a ton with Mike, obviously. I was, you know, living in his house for, you know, 3 months, basically 3 or 4 months. And so him and I were kicking, we were going fishing a lot. We did go on a lot of trips everywhere. So, I mean, cause I kind of, with what was going on with the separation, like kind of, it was like, I would spend the weekend with the kids, you know, mm-hmm. and then the next weekend I had open and, you know, I was seeing them, you know, 2 or 3 times during the week also. So, I was just super busy with the kids and work, and when I could, I'd throw a fishing trip in, and we just kind of got tired of being around here though, too. Like Mike and I were mm-hmm. like, let's go some different places, dude. You know?
Yeah. If for him fishing with a bunch of my buddies that I've never fished or that I fish with, I've never actually met him face to face yet. I don't think.
You've never met Mike?
No, I need to. Mike, if you're listening to this, let's go fishing, dude. I'm serious,
dude. He goes all the time, man. He's,
I know.
He's...
He went with Chris a couple weeks ago, and I was gonna tag along, but I don't have the new kayak registered, so I was just like, yeah, whatever. But yeah, dude, we need to go. I need to go fishing with you. It's been a while.
Dude, I don't even know that you and I fished together this year.
We didn't do a river float.
No, because you were all COVID scared the whole beginning half of the year, man. And I kept asking you, like, oh, dude, Allie's scared. Allie's scared.
Oh, yeah. Well, my wife owns her own business, so she was worried about me getting it and then her having to shut down.
Right.
But right now it's not as bad because right now is her off season. But yeah. During the whole farmer's market thing she was doing, she would have had to shut down for 2 weeks, and that wouldn't have been good for us.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. But, yeah, it was interesting. You know, it was cool doing the paddle. I had a lot of fun at the paddle and fin meetup. You know, I missed doing this. Yeah. It's been a while. So, you know, we got some catching up to do as far as some of the episodes that I had planned out that we never really got to. But hopefully, you know, we'll get back in the swing of things for everybody here soon with the final cast. Big shout out to Jimmy and Brad, though. You, Brad, Jimmy, you guys killed it, dude. I just got to tell you, man, that there was a lot of good, positive feedback from a lot of the episodes that you guys did. A lot of people were really digging the battery one.
BioNO?
Yeah.
Oh, that was probably my favorite episode this year.
Yeah, that was definitely a good one. So, you know, but thanks for, you know, thanks for all the hard work you guys put into it. So.
Yeah, Jimmy, if you're listening to this, send me your address, dude. I'm going to send you like a gift card or something. Hook you up.
You're going to send Jimmy a gift card?
Heck yeah, dude. Because he put in some hours on the podcast this year, man.
Hey, just save some cake balls, man.
There we go. Yeah. Hey, well, he wants me to come down there to Gunnersville. He's like, I'm going to get you to catch a fish on a frog because I never caught one.
You've never caught a fish on a frog?
No.
Are you serious?
No.
Dude, I'll take you to do that around here, man. Like, how do you, I mean, you could go, one of the best places you could go, like, just knock it out. Like, say you did it, it was Kaiser back in the day, dude. Like,
yeah.
I remember going there in the spring and I caught like 30 bass on a little tiny black live target bass, you know, like the little live target frog.
Yeah.
And dude, I would bomb that thing like a country mile and just pull it through over that, those little grass patches.
And, I think that's the thing. I just don't know how to work it, but once somebody shows me how to do it, I have confidence in it. Like my trip to visit Brian in August.
Yeah.
I threw the football jig on his home lake that whole day. I was like, I'm catching a fish on this.
Yeah.
Finally caught two of them. They were both good too.
Yeah. So I was like, sweet. That place is fun, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. The one was like 18 inches and it was probably three and a half pounds.
They're huge. They're fat. Like freakishly huge shoulders. Like, but I mean, I guess when you fish where we do in Ohio, like all of our bass are usually really anorexic unless they're smallmouth, like, you know,
yeah.
But the largemouth are all like withering away. So
are you planning on going to the Fox River tournament?
I have no idea what's going to happen next year, to be honest with you. Because yeah. I was sitting there like, hey, maybe we should talk about next year's plans. And I'm like, I don't even have a kayak right now. So
I don't have plans right now either. So, but
I think
that
it
is
would
the
be
one that stands out.
I think it'd be really cool to do the paddle and fin trail series. You know, but at the same time, I'm like, dude, like just with the time with the kids and stuff like that, I'm like, it's going to be hard, you know, pulling that off. And, but the cool thing is that it's sort of all based Midwest. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely doable. Nothing's like too terribly out of the way. So.
Except lacrosse is probably like 8 hours, but you got to qualify for that one, I think, because it's the championship.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say, Fox River, that one stands out to me because when I went out to Brian, he took me out on the Kishwaukee River, like 15 mm-hmm. minutes from his house. We got onto some freaking footballs. I mean, bigger footballs than here. I was like, dude, this is sweet.
Yeah. It's really cool where Brian lives too, because he's kind of out there a little bit. It's not super populated where he's at. I mean, Rockford's got a decent population, but I really liked it up there. It was fun visiting him. I got to go do it again. Dude. I've been talking about going up there, and if it happens, last year it didn't really happen because the ice was not really on for very long up there, mm-hmm. and because they had a mild winter overall too, like we did. But I want to go up there and ice fish with him and Jay using hot dogs for pike. Like that stupid
dude, weekend. I would go. Yeah, if you go, let me know. I'll do stuff like that. That'd be fun.
I was like, that'll be a good video to put up for Paddle and Fin.
Heck yeah. Yeah, I hope we do a meetup again next year in the springtime or something.
That's going to be busy though, man, because the Paddle and Fin, Dale Hollow, that dude, like I might just go fish that, you know.
Yeah.
Because it is in April, the open and everything, and the beginning of this whole thing is right there at Dale Hollow in the spring. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's gonna be fun. Yeah, if you guys are listening, I highly encourage you to go out to Dale Hollow that time of the year. It's fun. Fishing all the wood and stuff. You'll have like temperatures probably 65 to 70, 72, something like that. Yeah. I went the first weekend of May one year, and it was 77 degree water temperature already, but it shot up during the day pretty quick. But yeah, that time of the year is awesome.
Heck yeah. And dude, I'm taking your ass straight up to St. Clair. Cause
I'm doing that this
year, man. St. Clair changed my mind about what kind of smallmouth fights harder, whether it's in the river or in a lake. And St. Clair smallmouth fishing was like, I was like, dude, these might fight harder than what I've caught in a river. Not saying that, you know, all rivers are like that, but yeah. I was just like, it's really, really different when you're fishing in a lake like that and you're hooking into what are just freakishly shaped, giant smallmouth. Like, I mean, dude, the heads on them, it's just like, it's hard to describe. Like, you pull one out of the water, you're like, this is the weirdest smallmouth. It's huge, and it's just, you know, it just, I was like, its shoulders and stuff just don't match what, you know, what you're catching. It's just crazy, but
yeah,
it's definitely a good time.
They're not like largemouth where they hold the weight in the belly. It's just, they just get bigger top to bottom.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally like, it was the definition of the Nerf ball, like, shape, like, with a tail.
Yeah, that's awesome. I need to experience that. Oh, Ryan Dahl, he's like, oh, I'm planning a trip in May. I was like, I might come with you. He's like, that's why I said something.
Yeah, dude. And if, I mean, dude, like I said, it's a lot of fun. It's, you can get out there and kayak it. It's not, I mean, obviously with any big water like that, you've got the issues where the weather can take a turn, but it's not like Lake Erie scary, you know, or yeah, like that. Cause I mean, it's where we were fishing, man. It was like 7 feet deep. That was it.
So, yeah. I heard like the deepest is what, like 16 to 20 or something.
Yeah. It's
like
not,
that.
It's not a deep lake. It's just big. So when you do get, you know, when it gets windy out there, it is sketchy just because it is wide open. It's like a big giant bowl basically. And so, but I mean, when we were out there, most of the time it was really calm. And when we went, I want to say we fished Thursday and Friday, but I can't remember. Anyways, when we were there originally, it was no boat traffic. So mm-hmm. the first couple of days, and then obviously on Saturday and Sunday on tournament day and the next day it picked up. So it was a little rocky out there, but I mean, dude, we were fishing right there next to the docks a lot of times. Like, you know, like the furthest we went out was like 100 to 200 yards offshore. Yeah. That wasn't very far. So,
yeah, I'd probably feel at home with that. Not deep and then grass. Offshore, like if there's grass offshore, I feel pretty comfortable fishing it.
Yeah,
so I think that'd be fun.
But yeah, it's real sandy. It's not like a lot, there's rocks, but it's not like you're finding, like, you know, just piles and piles of rocks, and it's just real rocky everywhere. Like, so if you find a rock pile, like, it's a good place to kind of hang out. So mm-hmm.
So it's not like Williams Reservoir where it just rocky drop off.
No
I need to get back up there too.
But it's, you know, we'll definitely go up there and check it out. I'd like I said, I want to go up there a little bit early. Like, I'd almost like to go up there like when before the spawn, like when they're coming, pre-spawn. When they've come in and they're just like, you know, picking off bait fish like in the shallows until they get ready to make the beds. That would be badass, dude. Like,
heck yeah.
Top where they're water, just man. Feeding up like crazy. Yeah. Like, and then I'd have the, you know, it'd probably be if even fairly calm, because you think about it, it's going to still be slightly chilly to where there's not a lot of people out there pleasure boating. Because, I mean, you get your bass boats, but your bass boats blast in, fish a spot, and blast out. You know, where it kind of gets a little sketchy is when you start getting, you know, a lot of people tubing and, you know, even the bigger boats, and they're just, you know, blasting by one after another, you know, and that's where you start getting that real gnarly, you know, chop that starts forming and stuff like that. So, but the bass boats and stuff coming in and out, it's not a big deal really. But I think it'd be a good time to go up there like early May or something. So
yeah, pre-spawn's my favorite time to fish. Love it.
Mine too.
Like on the river, man. Oh
yeah,
it's so much fun. I love it. But so what else is new? Anything else?
Not really, man. You know, just got the new pad, the new bachelor pad here set up.
Heck yeah.
I had the paddle and fin on the TV, but the TV looks like a computer screen from here. It looks tiny. It's crazy what Skype does to our videos.
Yeah.
But it timed out. So the screensaver.
It's all good. You're, like I said, your head's blocking it, so I can't really see it anyway.
But yeah, I do apologize to anybody if I've got an echo in my old place. The walls were hollow in a sense. Not hollow, but there wasn't dry. It wasn't drywalled. So like the sound could travel through the wall and stay away. And I'm sitting in a corner right here next to my kitchen. And so it's slightly echoey. So if there's bad quality, sorry.
Two exterior walls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually just one. And then I got the neighbor's wall.
Oh,
right here.
I got you. Yeah.
They're probably like, is this guy just talking to himself in the corner?
Yeah, if you start hearing a broom bang on the side, you got to move the other side.
Pay no attention. It's just my neighbor. She's pissed. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see kind of what happens next year, you know, as far as what kayaks are going to get. I know I'm going to shoot to try to get a Kilroy again, dude. One of my big goals this year is going to be spending as much time with my kids as I possibly can, because my time's going to be limited with them now. And I have to go get that Kilroy. Zach was so upset with me, dude, when I sold it, because they were with me, actually, too. The guy kind of popped up out of nowhere and he was like, hey dude, I want to buy that thing. Do you want me to electronically send you the money right now? And I was like, no dude, come look at the boat first. Like, you know, like, I do not want you to send me money electronically and then I go to deliver this thing to you and you're like, no, I don't want it. And then I have to try to, you know, go to the bank and all that jazz. So, but Zach was with me and it was super sad because he got to go out a few times on the river with me and he fell in love with that kayak because he had somewhere comfortable to sit. And then he got real ballsy and was sitting on the front nose of the boat going down the river. And it was just our thing. It became our thing this summer and it sucks that I had to get rid of it. But, you know,
hey man, you're on the Loveland team. You're going to get another one. So it's all good.
Yeah. But you know, it still stinks, dude. It kind of had a sentimental value, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
It was his kayak. I got that thing and specifically for him, you know, and except he keeps requesting that I get a damn Spider-Man like kayak because he's seen the Bonafide
Black Widow.
Yeah, dude. And I'm like, dude, I can't get that kayak, Zachary. There's nowhere for you to sit in it. He's like, but dude, daddy, it's so cool. And I'm like, I know, but
where you have anywhere to store the kayak right now?
Yeah, I have a garage here. So.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I was fortunate that I found this place because, except for, dude, my boss at work the other day tells me about this house that's next door to him that has its own pond with bass in it, and it's out on the edge of Waynesville, and it's $700 a month. Dang. I mean, it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. I'm like, how much? He's like, $700. He's like, it's not updated. I'm like, I don't care. It's got a pond with fish in it, dude. Like,
heck yeah.
I mean, it's got a dock and everything. I literally, every day I could just go out my front door. I would build a chute from the garage into the lake.
That's awesome though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you didn't have a garage, throw your kayak in mine. I wouldn't care.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You would when you're like, God, I got to move that thing out of the way.
Just let me use it when you're not using it.
Right. But, you know, so we'll see what I end up in next year. Definitely want to try to get a Jackson boat for my river kayak. I'll always stick with Jackson, especially when it comes to river kayaks. I'm thinking I'm going to shop around a little bit when it comes to a pedal drive. But it'd be hard for me to kind of let go of the big rig. I'm a pretty big fan of that kayak, so.
Yeah.
But
I know what you mean, man.
I know Mike though, he's like, come to the dark side of Hobie.
I know I'm known as like the kayak lord now, but.
No, more like kayak whore is what you are, not lord.
But there are kayaks that I do miss for sure. I do miss the Bonafide.
Yeah, well, dude, that boat was like, dude, you had that thing
year and a half
set up exactly the way you wanted. It had a lot of features that you liked. I think the thing that you hated the most about that kayak was dealing with the weight of it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it was, that's a heavy kayak. I remember helping you try to remember the first time we fished together and I dropped your Bonafide.
Yeah. Yeah, you fell
like,
down
this
the
thing
hill.
Is way heavier than it looks, dude. Like,
yeah, it's almost as heavy as the big rig, I think.
No, the big rig, well, maybe the standard big rig, but the big rig FD's 140 pounds, dude.
Yeah, I'm at the standard.
I think the Bonafide was in the 90s somewhere, wasn't it?
Yeah, 94.
Yeah. I mean, dude, the Kilroy is 93.
It doesn't seem like it'd be that big. That's crazy.
Dude, it's 13 feet, 13.1, something crazy like
that's
that.
That's a big
or
boat.
12.11, something like that. Something crazy. And then it's 36 inches wide.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah, the new canoe is 13 and a half feet.
But well, the way those handles were on that boat made it easy to carry. So
yeah. Yeah.
And I kept it on the light side too, since I use it as a riverboat. So it's still hard. Still hard as hell to carry by yourself.
Oh, dude. Yeah, that's the worst part about kayak fishing, for me at least. Especially going to Franklin, the spot that I like to hit a lot. Going downhill and then carrying it back uphill, felt like I was going to have a heart attack.
Yeah. Got to get in shape, bro.
I'm in pretty good shape, it seems like. But
you need to get in better shape, it sounds like.
I do.
I do.
Well, before I started the podcast, I ate 4 cookies.
Yeah. See, there's the problem. You're like me. You have a labor intensive job that keeps you skinny. But if you stopped that job, you would be 200 something, pounds overweight in no time. Yeah. You'd be sitting there like, I eat cookies for a living. I'm a cookie tester.
Yeah. I need to stop, man. Stop.
But it's hard to, though, when you have a wife who bakes like a, she's a professional baker, dude. Like, I'm the same way. I love sweets. So, like, cookies and cake. Yum, yum, yum.
Oh, man. I love her cookies. They're so good.
All right, dude. Let's wrap this up.
Okay.
Okay.
See you later. I'm joking.
No, but sweet. Thanks, everybody, for listening again. And thanks for sticking around and everybody for letting me come back. Brad, thanks for letting me come back, buddy.
That wasn't my choice. That was your choice. And I laid off. I gave you your space. I didn't want to bug you. Like, hey, when you coming back? When you coming back? I gave you your space, and you came back to me when you were ready. So
I came back to you. I was like, Brad, I missed you, buddy.
It's all good. No, we got some cool episodes planned. I got an email from Brian just a little bit ago. You got it too, about a show. And then hopefully we can get Anchor Wizard on here soon. And then I think we're taking a break December 14th, right?
Something like that. Yeah. So you're going to take a little bit of a holiday break like we did last year. So I think we're looking at like maybe 3 weeks. And then we'll kick back up after New Year's and get the ball rolling again. And so, yeah, it'll be cool. Start seeing some of these new products come out. We'll have some oldies, but goodies back on. Maybe we'll see our dudes from Z-Man back on, maybe Plano and,
I was going to say Z-Man, he's going to come back on. We're going to talk about their new products.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun. I can't wait.
Sounds good, dude.
And we'll get to talk about all the stuff that we get for Christmas.
I don't think I'm getting shit for Christmas, dude. I'm serious. I'm like, oh, Christmas. Like, it's.
I probably won't either, but whatever. I'm replacing my rods. I replaced all my rods with Douglas rods. They're coming. So
yeah. So are you like on their pro staff or what?
I don't know.
Oh.
No, but I got all my rods replaced.
So that's cool.
I got those coming in the mail, so I'm so excited. Which Brian let me try those when I visited him up in there, and I'm like, dude, these are sweet.
What do you got left over that you're trying to sell?
Fenwick Baitcaster, 13 Fishing Baitcaster, and Dawa Tatula, whatever.
Hold on to Fenwick for me.
It's an HMG.
I know.
It's a medium 7-foot.
Sweet. I think that's what I broke.
There you go. If you want it, I'll give you a good deal on it.
All right. All
righty. Sweet. We will see you guys next week. And have a good one.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddlenfin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddlenfin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. TRC Covers, protect your investment. Catch Products, shout out to Catch Products. Go to catchproducts.com and put the Paddle and Fin logo directly on your catch board. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com, use promo code PNF20 and save 20% on all your jig and tackle needs.